Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Maridam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyaptayena Characharam Tatpadam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who, like desire trees, can fulfill desires of everyone and who are oceans of mercy for all the fallen conditioned souls. Yasya prasadat agyopi sadhya sarvagyatam rajayat sa shichatanya devame bhagavan samprasidatu. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be fully merciful unto me, because by his grace a complete fool can get all knowledge in 1 second. Tam Shrimat Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurum Yasyanukampaya Swapi Mahabdim Santaret Sukham. I offer my respectful obeisances to Jagat Guru Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because by his grace, even a dog can cross a big ocean very happily and easily. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna has not abandoned us. Krishna has not forgotten us. Krishna comes to give us mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, which gives 90 chapters exclusively to Krishna Leela, and then also we have the 11th canto, there is so many more chapters. We have Uddhava Gita. Bhagavatam very generously gives us mercy of Krishna Katha. And if we hear Krishna Katha, there is some beautiful statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 9th canto, 24th chapter, this is the last chapter, before the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami says, Yasmin sat karnapiyushe yashastir tavare sakrit shrotranjali rupas prishya dunute karmavasanam.
Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears.
It says upasprisha, having touched.
And it says shrotanjalir.
Shrotranjalir.
Shrotra, these are ears. And anjali, you may know. Anjali means when you, like pushpanjali, you offer flowers, on or when you offer your pranam. This is anjali. So we have our ears like shrotranjali.
I don't know, I don't see. Anybody has ears like this?
Because this shines into my eyes, so I don't see you, but you can see me. So if we touched with such ears once, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Dhunute karma vasanam. And we have many, many blessings. The best of which are the blessings of, Prabhupada translates, arresting Krishna in the heart.
Sadyo hridyavarudhyate.
Sadyo means immediately. You capture Krishna in your heart. In the second canto, 8th chapter, 4th verse, Shukadev, actually, yeah, Shukadev Goswami says, actually, it's not him. That's there's a whole conversation there. But the whole Bhagavatam belongs to Shukadeva Goswami. So this verse says that as soon as you start hearing Krishna Katha in the Bhagavatam, something very strange happens. Do you know that you don't have Paramatma? Did you hear about this ever? Actually, in your heart, it's not Paramatma who is in your heart. Or ordinary, you know, Sankarshan or Kshirdakashaya Vishnu Aniruddha. This is Krishna. 284 says that when you start hearing Krishna Katha, then through your ears, Krishna enters and sits on the lotus of your heart. So, when you start worshipping Krishna, then in your heart, Radha and Shyamasundar are revealed. And they are your super soul. They are your Paramatma. And just to remove some doubts, maybe we need to listen for a very long time. Third canto says, Kapila Dev says, you hear to Krishna Katha for a long time. Here it says sakrit, one time. If you hear one time, then this special magic happens. One time is enough. So, some of you are happy, and some of you are wondering, what happened to my one time? You know, I heard many times, and karma vasana, desires and karma, is still flourishing in my heart. Some of you may wonder. Yeah? Not many, but some. Some like. So, why we are not in full ecstasy of Bhava Bhakti? In ecstasy of love for Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam describes Krishna Lila in Canto 10. And before Canto 10, there is a long preparation to describe Krishna Lila. It's a school. It's a school that trains us to approach, to be ready, to properly receive Krishna Katha, to properly understand Krishna Katha, so that our heart is prepared and our consciousness is prepared and our ears are also shrotranjali. Our ears are respectful, are offered to the Katha as the prayerful palms to receive this katha. So how does Srimad Bhagavatam prepare? in the Bhagavatam, like in every school, there are several tests. One test is quite famous. It's so-called midterm test in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada discusses this test in his commentaries, in his purports. And maybe some of you can remember where this test comes, where Shukadeva Goswami tests Parikshit Maharaj. Anybody remembers where Shukadeva Goswami? Yes, Prabhu? Yes, Hare Varshat Prabhu. Sixth canto, how does Shukadeva Goswami test Parikshit Maharaj?
By saying that Gyan and Yoga.
Yes, thank you. Parikshit Maharaj is compassionate. First of all, he heard about hell. That in itself already was a sort of a test, because he didn't think, yes, these rascals, yeah, they do so many bad things, let them burn, let them be caught. He didn't rejoice. He didn't gloat. English has borrowed a special word from German, Schadenfreude. The English word is gloating. It's feeling joy for somebody's misery. Zloratstvo. It means you are happy that, when I was on earth, then that person during kirtan, he stepped on my toe. And now, here you see what will happen to him. No, Parikshit Maharaj felt very compassionate. He didn't want them to suffer. And so he's asking Shukadeva Goswami, how can people avoid the hellish planets? And Shukadeva Goswami tests him by first offering prayashchitta or karmakanda procedures. He offers him karmakanda procedures. You do prayashchitta, special atonement. And then by atonement, you become free from that sin and you avoid hell. And Parikshit Maharaj says, but I'm sorry, we see that just like Kunjara Shauchavat, like an elephant goes to take bath, comes out and then puts dust again on his body. Same way, people can be professional sinners. They can perform a sin, perform atonement, prayashchitta, and then do the same sin again. It doesn't seem to be actually removing the danger. So that was the first part of the test. His guru tells him, that's how you do it. And the disciple says, sorry, it doesn't look right. So guru doesn't need blind followers. He doesn't want us to follow blindly like sheep. He wants us to be very intelligent. What was that we repeated? Subtle discrimination? Yeah, you know better than me. That was from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yes, we are supposed to create independently thoughtful people. Prabhupada says what this world lacks is brahmanas who will spread Krishna consciousness. So we see the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, Shadimam tam prapannam, I surrender unto you. But then immediately after says, Nayotsya iti govinda, but I will not fight. So what is it? Has he surrendered or not? So yes, he has surrendered, but he doesn't want to fight blindly. He wants to fight with transcendental understanding. And Krishna also doesn't need Arjuna fighting. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, you will fight anyway. The war will happen anyway. But he spent the whole Bhagavad Gita so that Arjuna, not just to make Arjuna fight, but to make Arjuna act in pure Krishna consciousness. So Parikshit Maharaj doesn't follow blindly. He says, karma kanda doesn't seem to be the answer. Then the tapasa brahmacharyana, the next answer offered by Shukadeva Goswami is jnana yoga. And Parikshit Maharaj, there are no words of Parikshit Maharaj mentioned, but obviously there was a sour face, like a very doubtful face, because immediately after, finally, Shukadeva Goswami gives the right answer, Yes. Okay. I'll tell you the right thing. Kevala, kechit kevala ya bhaktiya Vasudeva parayana. That only by kevala bhakti, by pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, niharamiva bhaskara. That's how you remove all the traces of sin, just like rising sun removes fog. So that's the first test. One of the tests. Very clearly mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam. But Bhagavatam has many tests. You can notice one interesting pattern in the Bhagavatam, that Bhagavatam from time to time will give you some erotic story. At some places, these are just outright erotic stories, like Canto 5, description of Maharaj Agnidra, and Purvachitti, yes, the Apsara. It's very erotic. And Canto 9, why I speak about this? Because Canto 9 is the final test before entering the 10th canto. So you can see that these stories are there. In the 3rd canto, we have Kardama Muni and Devahuti. We have illicit sex, we have licit sex. We have Kashyapa Muni and Diti, and then we have Kardama Muni and Devahuti. So illicit and licit, and this type of enjoyment, that type of enjoyment, for a hundred autumns, not years, autumns, they flew all over the universe in a flying palace. They visited all the best places. And you read it and you think, wow, this looks nice. Yeah, so that's the point. The Bhagavatam is testing. So how about that? Would you be attracted to this type of life? Would that answer your needs? Every time after such test, what we have in the Bhagavatam, we have heavy philosophy. Just to bring you back to the wait. Like after some sweets, if you eat too much sweets, you need something bitter, some bitter medicine to set your health straight. So in the 3rd canto we have Kapila Shiksha Sankhya Yoga. In the 5th canto we have the forest of material enjoyment. Yes, a very drastic description of Jiva somehow or other getting lost in the forest and trying to earn some money to enjoy, and then so many troubles are there. And we have the 9th canto, which is one of the most surprising cantos. Because what you have in the 9th canto, you have a whole long list of scandals. Scandals which involve some very respectable people in the universe. We have some planets, gurus, leaders, some very, very respectable people. And the 9th canto very openly discusses this. Of course, we have also erotic story there. How without that? And not even one. We have Urvashi and Pururava also described in alluring terms. And we have a lot of things which will test our readiness to enter Krishna Lila. Because tatha paramahansanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema histriya, says Kunti Devi, saying that Krishna, you are for paramahamsas. Krishna is for paramahamsas, not even for just ordinary sages. Krishna is for muninam amalatmanam, for spotless munis who are paramahamsas. Same thing, if you remember, it's in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, dharma projita kaitava. It's also said nirmatsaranam. It's for paramahamsas. Only paramahamsas can enter Krishna Lila. And Kunti Devi says, how can we, ordinary women, see you, who can be with great difficulty perceived by paramahamsas only, great sages? So Canto 9 tests you. Canto 9 tests your Paramahamsa vision. Because who is a Paramahamsa? Can you please tell me who is a Paramahamsa? Who is a Paramahamsa? How do we define the Paramahamsa? Yes. Can you please shout? Like a swan. Only takes the milk. All right. Can you do this? Can anybody do this? We give you milk. We can bring milk and water and test who is ready. what is milk in that comparison? Thank you. Good quality. Okay, yes, good qualities. Thank you. How else do we define Paramahamsas? Yes, Prabhupada? Yes, high stage of sannyas. Do you know something about this stage? How do we... Independent? Oh, dependent on Krishna. Yes? No material desires. Mm. Thank you for bringing up this highest stage of sannyas. One of the names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nyasta Dandaka. And you may have heard that Paramahamsa Sannyasi doesn't need to carry a danda. Yeah? You may know that our Guru Maharaj always carries a danda. Yes, he says, I'm not on that stage. So he always carries a danda. Of course, nowadays it's so difficult to fly with it. I mean, if you have to fly planes, it's crazy. It's a whole... But what does it mean, Nyasta Dandaka, one who has left danda? in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Karnapura says that in Vrindavan, the word danda is used only as a stick for a chamara or for something else with a stick, but never in the sense of punishment. So this is the meaning of the word. One of the meanings of the word danda, it's punishment. So Paramahamsa is someone who has given up any notion, concept, idea of being a punisher of others. Any concept of judging others to punish them. And in fact, the whole idea of sannyas, you take danda to punish yourself, to control your mind. And then you are supposed to get to the level of giving up the idea of punishing others. So that's Paramahamsa, one who doesn't have the idea to be the punisher of others, going around and criticizing and judging and punishing, thinking how others need to be punished. The ninth canto has also the story of Yayati and Rantidev. And Yayati says that there is one person who can be happy wherever he goes. And who is that person who can be happy wherever he goes? He says, this is a person who always wishes well to others and never wishes suffering unto others. Such a person can be happy anywhere and everywhere. What other meaning of Paramahamsa we sometimes mention? Prabhupada actually frequently mentions in the Bhagavatam purports this meaning of Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa is free from it. It's similar to what we have discussed, but it nails just one emotion. Huh? Envy. Thank you. Nirmatsara. Envy. And when Prabhupada uses the word envy, he doesn't mean what we usually understand under this word. He uses this word envy in old British sense of being inimical to others, wishing others to suffer somehow or other. That's the meaning Prabhupada uses, envy. It's himsa in Sanskrit, can be called himsa. So when we wish others to suffer, we would probably call this black envy. Yeah, Because we often think that envy is something like white envy, that somebody has something and I want it. But that's not the meaning Prabhupada uses it. It's enviousness means we want others to suffer. So that envy we need to be free from to enter the 10th canto. So the whole 9th canto prepares us for this. Both directly by saying that you should be free from envy. When you will never wish anybody to suffer, it is described, when you have no false ego, when you have no pride, when we do not compete with others for respect, things, possessions, gross or subtle things, then we can happily wish happiness, wish everybody well. We can be free from envy. Rantidev is also described in Canto 9. He's a king who was fasting for a long time, and then he's about to break his fast. He's sitting in front of the plate of prasadam, and then a brahmana comes. Okay, no problem. He takes half and he gives this to the brahmana. And then a kshatriya comes. Then a hunter comes. And finally, there is a chandala. So Rantidev, he's left with just... Okay, it's he's left with a... glass of water. And then a chandala comes, and then he says, okay, you... And he says, I'm so thirsty, I need water. So then, okay, he says, you take it, you drink it. And then he says, I have never been so happy as I am happy now. When I have renounced everything, I feel the happiest ever. Actually, Krishna, make the whole world free and happy. Make the whole world... eligible to go to Vaikuntha. And if their sins or karma are an obstacle to that, please take all their sins and put them on me. So this is Rantidev. So this is Paramahamsa. And this is the mentality of someone who can understand the 10th canto and Krishna's appearance. So, this is something we want, and this is something that's expected from us. I mean, not giving away your water, always, but not wishing others to suffer in any way. And on the contrary, desiring that everybody be happy. That's the definition of a Vaishnava, paradukha dukhi. He's commiserating, feels pain of everybody. He doesn't want anybody to suffer. Actually, it's a definition even of a brahmana. Brahmana is someone who is happy to see others happy. Brahmana is someone who has a big heart, large heart, magnanimous. He is happy to see others prosper, both spiritually and materially. It's not that he thinks, oh, there will be the end of the world and then you will see, wait, just wait, and you will see how where you will be. He doesn't want anybody to suffer. He wants everybody to be happy. Srila Prabhupada said, if you remember, in the 70s, he said there will be World War III. Yeah, soon. He says, between Russians and Americans. He says like this, right? But... and it's quoted a lot. There are some people who go around and collect the whole list of such quotes. But Prabhupada continues. He says, there will be this world war unless we preach sufficiently and distribute books and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So 40 years ago, apparently we have preached sufficiently. That never happened 40 years ago. At the same time, still dangers are there. And it's incumbent upon us, it's our duty, it's expected from us to not only chant Hare Krishna, but also to be well-wishers. If as devotees with the Bhagavatam, japa the holy name, Krishna consciousness, we quarrel with each other, how can we expect karmis not to quarrel with each other? If we, having such super powerful, merciful blessings, still not wish well to somebody, some other devotee, how can we expect non-devotees to not quarrel? So, dear Prabhus and Matajis, the fate of the world is in your hands. Or should we say, on the tips of your tongues and in your hearts. Yeah, what are the words you use to speak to each other? What are the thoughts with which you think about others? And what is your desires towards those who disagree with you and maybe sometimes insult you? There is a very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada calls sometimes a very important verse. It's a famous verse. I suggest we chant. This is a verse describing the birth of Krishna. So, can I ask you to repeat this verse? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatam tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjuna. And here's translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So there is a secret which solves the problems, which stops that meaningless rotation. We reincarnate not only from body to body, we reincarnate from morning to morning. Maybe you have this experience. You go to bed in the evening and you are full of determination. Yes, tomorrow I will chant like that, and tomorrow I will be a new person, and I will have a Paramahamsa vision. Yes. And then in the morning this beep 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 beep, and we, you know, and you wake up and we remember, you know, what did I say? Who was it? You know, yesterday you had some plans. That was not me. You know, we are like a different person. Does it happen to you sometimes? I see you're laughing. I hope you're laughing not only at me, but because you have some personal experience. So we from hour to hour, from minute to minute, you know, clouds come out, somebody says something, and we are a different person. So Krishna says we can stop it if we accept the mystery of his birth and activities. I think everybody can list a few mysteries of Krishna's birth and activities. I think in these 3 days we can list at least 9 of mysterious things about Krishna's birth and activities. But to actually understand the mystery, we need to become a different person. It's not an intellectual understanding. It's not just that we know some facts or some statements. We need to develop the Paramahamsa vision, the Paramahamsa nature. Only when we are able to practice non-dual vision, when we can see the world without this duality, then we can understand Krishna better. That's why we have the whole ninth canto testing us. Okay, here's this terrible scandal. A very respectable guru goes and steals the wife of his brother. And what do you think about this? Does it disturb you? Do you feel, how can he, you know, he's such a person, he's supposed to be like that? And yeah? Or can you still maintain a relatively neutral outlook on that and not blame all your problems on the misbehavior of that personality? Because when we come to the 10th canto, there is so much opportunity to misjudge Krishna, to misjudge Krishna's activities. And we are speaking not only about Rasa Lila. There's this famous story when some devotees came to Srila Prabhupada and they said, we want to present a drama on Krishna's Lila. And Srila Prabhupada says, no, they will misunderstand. So they said, well, we will not present Rasa Lila, we will present Krishna's childhood Lila. Prabhupada said, no, they will think it is material. This is not to say we should never have any drama. I mean, it's definitely not a condemnation of Krishna conscious drama and Lila, but it's a very important warning to us. And I remember when we were studying the 10th canto in the VIHE, this has been a thing that I had to struggle continuously through Vrindavan Lila. I had to struggle with this because it looks so much similar to, you know, Krishna behaves just like a very cute boy, a very cute child. And you know, I don't have children of my own, and yeah, it's cute, but it's not my rasa. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but it looks so similar. Then the gopis, you know, then so many memories may come did come in my mind, but my life before Krishna consciousness. So there is so much danger of misunderstanding. Of course, Bhagavatam is excellent transcendental school which is able to deal even with that problem. So we have, you know, nine cantos preparing us, and then after Vrindavan Lila we have Mathura Lila, and then we have Dwaraka Lila. So Vrindavan Lila is just, you know, sometimes it's called Jnana Shunya Bhakti, a Kevala Bhakti, Bhakti which is just pure sweetness. And then Mathura is defined by Srila Prabhupada as the place where transcendental knowledge develops. So it's not simply a geographical place, it's a place of transcendental knowledge. So this Lila helps us to remove doubts. So first we are exposed to the most sweet Vrindavan Lila, then we have Mathura Lila, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Krishna Samhita explains that Vrindavan Lila, every time some demon is killed, it deals with some anartha that prevents us from Vrindavan Bhajan. And in Mathura Lila, every time some demon is killed, Kuvalaya Pida or Krishna comes and to Mathura, he first he comes and he immediately goes to that huge bow and he just breaks that bow, and the guards try to prevent him, he just smashes them with the pieces of that bow, and he has his knight on the town, and he's just come from a village, yeah, and now he's in a big city, so he needs to dress accordingly for that city, right? So then he goes and he takes some clothes from that poor washerman who performed austerities for thousands of years to see God but didn't have bhakti. So he saw God but he didn't recognize, and he made one mistake. Krishna asked for the clothes, and this washerman, not only didn't he give the clothes, but if you remember Burijan Prabhu a couple of years ago, he mentioned that he also said, "You fools." He didn't say you fool. He said you fools, two of you. Meaning he offended not only, he insulted not only Krishna but also Balaram. So then Krishna, practicing for his next day's martial arts championship, he, with one karate chop, he just chopped off his head. And then he went and took whatever clothes he and his friends needed. Then he went to Sudama the florist, and he got the garlands, and then he straightened up Kubja and got sandalwood and perfumes from Kubja. So he got prepared for the city life, you know, so to say. And then the next day, we have Kamsa waiting for this, you know, mixed martial arts championship or UFC Universal Fighting, whatever you call it. And there were these killer machines, Chanura and Mushtika and, you know, Shala Toshala, these huge guys. And they are all waiting for Krishna. And Krishna in the morning, he just took bath in the Yamuna, you know, got whatever. They made ornaments for him from clothes because they are soft and they are suitable for fighting. And not golden, but clothes ornaments. And so Krishna leisurely took bath and laughing with boys, he goes, and then there is this tank of Kuvalayapida, this elephant trying to stop him. Okay, so Krishna kills that Kuvalayapida elephant, break off his tusks, Balaram, and they are coming, saunter in, you know, just already smeared in blood, smiling. Balaram has the tusks of the elephant. He was late. Kamsa, the emperor, had to wait for him. And Kamsa called Krishna to kill Krishna, right? And who wasn't sleeping that night? And who was sleeping happily? Krishna happily slept, and Kamsa, oh, tomorrow, oh my God. He doesn't see he has nightmares, he doesn't see his shadow, he doesn't see his reflection. And then, you know, then the fighting starts, and and the women lament, oh, Vrindavan is so nice, they dance with Krishna there. Here, what we do, Krishna comes and we send these killers to, you know, to fight with him. It's terrible, terrible. And first Krishna says to these fighters, don't you think we are in different weight categories? You know, it's I think people will not like, you know, they think it's a mismatch, you know, it's not a, you're super heavy and we are, you know, super heavyweight. And Chanura and Mushtika says, yes, we are in different weight categories because, first of all, we know how expert you are in fighting in Vrindavan. You have your Vrindavan school of, you know, fighting. The cowherd boys, they fight, you know, they train also. And you have killed so many demons. You know, Trinavarta, Putana, Shakatasura, Agasura, Bakasura. Kamsa was sending. Uddhava in the third canto says that, you know, he was an uncle of Krishna, and so an uncle who had an uncle or aunt growing up with an uncle or an aunt. Did you have an uncle as you were growing up? Did he give you some toys in your childhood? Anybody got toys from an uncle in it? So Kamsa also was sending this amazing, you know, like Trinavarta. You know, he just takes Krishna like, you know, like a helicopter or this air balloon, you know. And it goes in the air and you go look from above, you know, everything. But then, you know, a child, you know, after he has played with the toy, what does he do? He breaks the toy, right? So he broke all the toys. So they said, you know, we know that we are in different categories. And the difference is that you are absolute. You are the absolute truth. And we are just ordinary fighters. So yes, we are in different categories. So Krishna said, oh, you think like this? Okay, all right. So then, all right, let's fight. So then they fight, and, you know, Krishna just, one of them, he just punched into the stomach. You know, it's knocking somebody out with a stomach punch, it's very expert. Krishna rotated Toshala and smacked him on the ground, and then the other one with his left foot, he kicked him in the ear, and so he very quickly killed all of them. They two killed all of them. So then Kamsa jumped up and he said, "Kill Vasudeva and Devaki and grab them." And then Krishna, it's described that Krishna was looking at Kamsa. In Nectar of Devotion describes, Prabhupada says that Krishna was looking at Kamsa as a prostitute looks at a prospective rich customer. Krishna was looking, you know, the... already some expect, yes, Kamsa, I'm coming for you. And he jumped on the podium and he grabbed Kamsa's hair, and already Jiva Goswami says half of prana of Kamsa left his body just by Krishna grabbing his hair. And then he just grabbed, threw him down, saddled him, and already Kamsa was practically just some punch was needed. And then Krishna got up and he just dragged him by the foot, you know, just to show everybody, see, he's dead. Don't worry, he's dead. Then, you know, the brothers of Kamsa came, you know, fuming, came in, and Krishna just smiled. He's not going to kill them. He's just smiling. Why? Because, okay, Kamsa threatened to kill his parents, but these are his uncles. You know, they didn't threaten to kill, they just threatened to kill him, not his parents. So Krishna is just waiting, you know. But Balaram, they are not any uncles of his. So so Balaram takes these bloody tusks of an elephant and he just finishes the business, killing off these eight uncles. And, you know, further, I mean, this is a whole far out story, yes? So then Krishna goes to Avantipur, he studies, and he's a very strict brahmachari, 2 months. Not so funny. True. It's mentioned by Sridhar Swami. And he's always a brahmachari. Gopal Tapani Upanishad says he's always a brahmachari. And then he marries, you know. So this is Mathura Lila. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Krishna Samhita says that these Lilas remove all obstacles for getting knowledge, for understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna. And then Krishna goes to Dwaraka, and that's the third part. And there, he creates this huge, this amazing palace city in the ocean, and then he takes part in the Kurukshetra war, and then he kills Shalva and so many other things. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Krishna Samhita that that part of Lila, that part of the 10th canto, it removes all the obstacles that prevent us from being successful in our karma yoga. So you can see how beautifully Bhagavatam is structured. So even if we have misunderstood Vrindavan Lila, which is very deludingly, very bewilderingly, confusingly human-like, then we have Mathura Lila, where Krishna reveals some of his divine nature. And then after that, we have Dwaraka Lila, where we see, oh yeah, Krishna is 16,000 palaces, and he marries in all of them, and together 16,108 queens, and in each of these, so he's a very powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead who can certainly bless me for whatever success in Karma Yoga we may require. Right, so our doubts are pacified even more by this display of Krishna's Aishwarya. And then we have the 11th canto, where we have Uddhava Gita, which removes whatever remaining misconceptions we may have by a very thorough philosophical treatise And then the 12th canto puts the lid on it, showing how everything ends in this world. So it's a beautiful edifice, beautiful palace of the Bhagavatam, the school of the Bhagavatam, where every letter is in a perfect place, in a perfect diamond, where every facet, every little side is in a perfect place to shine and to illuminate your heart. But the beginning of the 10th canto is Krishna's appearance. And to begin to enter that, we have to at least theoretically understand the need for the Paramahamsa vision. And the essence of Paramahamsa vision is being envy-free. How does it manifest, envy-free? It manifests in two ways, positive and negative. We'll speak a little more about this tomorrow, positive and negative sides. But so you have something to do before tomorrow. I would ask you, every year usually Shachinanda Maharaj, he's asking to adopt a special mentality for the retreat. And in one word, this is criticism-free. Take everything as Krishna's arrangement. That's a proper mentality for a pilgrimage. This year, I don't remember him mentioning this, so I will mention. Once Burijan Prabhu was asked before Kartik, what vow have you taken for this year for Kartik? And Burijan Prabhu, he says this, he mentions this in his lectures. He says that, I thought about skipping sweets. And his friend said, well, I have a better idea. How about you fast from criticism for 1 month? And Burijan Prabhu said, oh, that is such a good idea. And he decided, yes, I shall do this. And then he said that even 1 day he couldn't last. I usually try to include this in our Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, and whatever courses. And one devotee told me that he couldn't last half a second. Because just as he was in front of the deities, telling to himself, my dear, I think it was Radha Madhav, my dear, or Krishna Balaram, I forgot. My dear Krishna Balaram, I think that I will take this practice of avoiding criticism. And just as he was saying this, somebody bumped into him. And he looked, what is this? Who are you? How can you? And then he caught himself. Oh, what is he? He said he couldn't even finish saying these words in his mind. But even if we fail to do this perfectly, just trying to do this is certainly very instructive and helpful. So I want to ask you to practice this exercise, not thinking bad about anybody or anything. Try to see everything as Krishna's plan and Krishna's arrangement and Krishna's mercy. Maybe thank Krishna for whatever is happening. This is one side, and the other side is the positive approach when you positively, proactively wish well. This is the prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, very famous, 5.18.9. Svastyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam dhyayantu bhutani shivam mitodaya manascha bhadram bhajata dadokshaje aveshyatam no matirapya haituki. He says, svastyastu, may everybody be well, swasti. May there be good fortune for everybody. And even, how about rascals? Even rascals, kala prasidatam, may even they be satisfied, happy, and may they be well. And how is it possible? He says, you can, may all the living entities do this with their intelligence. Dhyan, dhyan, dhya, by dhya. You grab your power, willpower, and you think, oh, may they be happy. How is this possible? This is possible when you adopt the path of pure bhakti. Manashcha bhadram bhajata dadokshaja aveshetam no matir apyahaituki. When we accept that I'm Krishna Bhakta, my goal is Krishna Bhakti, then you can practice this well-wishing attitude. And Srila Prabhupada, 60 times in his books, he repeats the Sanskrit terms, and countless times he repeats this just in English, that what is our mission, he says. Our mission is not to turn Christians into Hindus, Hindus into this, Muslims into that. He says, our mission is to make everybody happy. He says, this is the Vedic mission. May everybody be happy. And there is a famous verse, which is so famous that it's even difficult to trace. Actually, Hari Parshad Prabhu finally traced this verse to Varaha Purana, some similar verse, very similar. But otherwise, it's so famous that it usually is a verse that every Brahmana begins his day with. Sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu makashche dukabhag bhavet. May everybody be happy, may nobody suffer, may nobody be see any sickness, may nobody be part of any disturbance. May everybody be satisfied and happy. That's the motto. Prabhupada says, this is our mission. Make everybody... Of course, this is possible only by pure Krishna consciousness. But sometimes we... shove Krishna consciousness down the throat without apparent concern for the actual happiness and satisfaction of the recipient, of the person receiving that mercy. So please, I want to ask two parts. One, catch yourself not criticizing and replace it with wishing everybody well. If I can steal two more minutes, I will finish by telling you a related story. When I just joined the ashram, it was in West Ukraine in my city. We were in a village outside the city, and it was a record. It was a very record cold winter. The temperatures were below 30 degrees, below zero, which was rare. And we had bathroom outside in the open air in the street, and the bath. And of course, it only the first jug was cold, then you didn't feel anything. You just had to keep stepping, because otherwise your feet would freeze into the to the ice. But I remember some devotees asked me, when you take bath, what do you think? What do I think? I think it's cold. So, no. When you do this, anyway, this is what they told me, but I found it interesting. They said, you should think, may everybody be happy. I should think that this time? They said, yes. Oh, okay. And I tried it, and it's actually quite interesting, because it's kind of one of the first things in the morning which turns you around from self-centered to from the enjoyer to the not self-centered, some sort of a servant. So if you have cold water, who has cold water? Who takes bath? So you can experiment with warm water also. Okay, you can experiment with this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Paramahamsa vision, which opens us the path to the 10th canto, Krishna Lila ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyo Vacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.